Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who's changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Ida Castro, chairwoman of the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Welcome, Ida.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very happy and pleased to be here, and I want to extend a warm hello to all of your listeners.
Oh, well, great. And they'd like to find out more about the EEOC. Could you tell us about the commission and your role?
Well, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission was created, actually opened its doors around 35 years ago as a result of the enactment of the Title VII Civil Rights Act. And our responsibility is to enforce anti-discrimination laws throughout the workforce. Some years later, we also were given the responsibility of similar types, although quite different in certain regards, of enforcement and promotion of equal employment opportunity in the federal government as well. Throughout the years, our jurisdiction has expanded significantly. Initially, it was race and gender and national origin and the well-known areas. And as you know, throughout the years, there have been additional laws that have been enacted, whether it's age discrimination or disability discrimination and so forth and so on. So our plate is pretty full, regrettably, at this point. Generally speaking, the commission receives on average about 80,000 charges from the private sector alone each and every year. So we investigate in the private sector. We make determinations and findings of discrimination. We conciliate with the employers, all of this in a confidential setting. And if conciliation fails, then the commission decides whether or not to pursue the matter through litigation, or if the party has a private attorney, they may request a right to sue and proceed to court separate and independent from the commission. In addition to enforcement in the private sector and in the federal sector, the commission is also responsible for policy questions, for issuing guidance, rules, and regulations, and guiding the employer community and the employee community on their rights and responsibilities under the law. So we are basically a very holistic approach type of agency. In the past, we've been basically an enforcement agency, a law enforcement type agency. Since I arrived, I've tried to amplify our outreach efforts and make sure that we also do all that we can, given our limited resources, to encourage compliance with our laws and to stimulate voluntary compliance, because we do have far more than what we can handle, quite frankly.
You've worked as a lawyer and a professor as well as a government manager and leader. Could you describe your career to us?
Well, I first started as a manager. At a very early age, I had the unique opportunity of being permitted to submit a proposal, get funding, and actually start a whole program. And the initial proposal that got funded was an employment and training program in a municipality in Puerto Rico. And the program started with slightly over $100,000 and within 16 months mushroomed to an $8 million proposal that was funded under the CETA program, which was just starting. So I'm going back for those of you in employment and training. Some time ago, I just want to highlight that I was extremely, extremely young at the time and was given some wonderful opportunities. From there on in, I proceeded to work in a variety of, I guess I had a number of roles in the employment and training arena, which is public service. And from there, I had the opportunity to begin an academic career at the Institute of Management and Labor Relations for Rutgers University. At that time, I was a labor educator, and I completed also my law degree and became the first woman tenured in the Labor Education Center. Once I had my law degree, then I wanted to basically make sure that I could practice and know and have that experience under my belt as well. So I did that. I did labor law, and ultimately I also did management representation, and I further administered a number of programs in the Department of Labor, the latter being an experience I've had within the last 7 years, culminating in the nomination to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission as chairwoman, which has been indeed a privilege and an honor for me to have been able to do this job for the last two plus years.
What drew you to public service?
Public service offers a unique opportunity. I did private practice, and I also did government practice. And the unique opportunity is always the level of impact that one can have, particularly when one is at the federal government, actually Washington, D.C. level. I mean, literally with the stroke of a pen, so to speak, one can have a real impact on the entire workforce from where I sit. And that is certainly an attractive position to be in. But I think that more importantly is the commitment to make sure that America holds up to its dream and certainly to its well-earned reputation. And that is that America needs to maintain its number one standing in terms of not only its employment opportunities, but the environment and the context of the workforce opportunities that are offered in America. We're leading in the world, and I wanted to serve my country, serve it well, and make sure that the promise that we've often made through our own values as Americans are met. And that is the opportunity I was offered in this position. So it's been really the best job I've had. But public service in general is certainly to be commended. It takes a lot of commitment, a lot of hard work, and oftentimes a lot of misunderstanding from the public in general. Certainly, it's not the money you get paid, because you can make more in the private sector more often than not. And oftentimes, regrettably, it's not the accolades one gets from the public. It's really that knowledge that you are working for the embetterment of your country, and that is a wonderful feeling.
What position or challenges gave you the best opportunity to develop as a leader?
Oh, you know, I don't think I can pinpoint it to any one particular position. I've had, I guess, the wonderful opportunity of working in such a wide variety of positions, from Head Start teacher to, you know, manager to lawyer to different executive positions to planning to implementing. And I think that that has really allowed me to be a better chairwoman at this point and a better leader, because it's the exposure to the different kinds of skills that one acquires along the way, to the different kinds of leaders that one meets along the ways that really allow you to figure out what is your best style and how is it that you can have the greatest impact. So I really agree with the corporate world for the most part that you need to track experiences that are diverse.
I'm talking with Ida Castro. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.